There's persecution going on all around the world, and we're seeing a little bit of that here in this country with the terrorism attacks. But God is good, and it doesn't matter what the enemy's got planned for us. God has got better things planned for each one and every one of us, so we can rejoice in that this morning. This morning, what I'd like to talk on and for us to explore is discipleship. Now, I touched on this in the AGM. I spoke about the whole issue of discipleship. But what I want to look at this morning is how we actually take somebody from the initial stages of when they first said a prayer to become a Christian, how we disciple them right from the start, how we nurture somebody right from the beginning. And I'd like us to turn to a bit of the Bible, first of all, a verse from the Bible. And it's in the book of Hebrews, which is in the New Testament, towards the end of the New Testament. And it's Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, please. Lord, as we read this, please speak to us, and as we look into your word, Lord, we pray that you would open our understanding in Jesus' name. Amen. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. That's a very simple verse, and what that verse is saying is this. These people should have been at the stage where they were teaching others, but they weren't at that stage yet. They were having to go over the basics again. And from the guy who wrote the book of Hebrews, it was a little bit frustrating for him to have to go over the basics again. That's what he's having to do, lay again the discipleship that they'd first started off with. But the point I want to raise from this passage is this. They should have been at the point where they were teaching others what they'd learned. And you might not think this morning that you're a teacher. You might think, well, I'm not called to be up the front. Thank you, David. You might think, I'm not called to be up the front with a microphone or anything like that. But the fact is, according to the Word of God, the Bible here, we all can be teachers in some ways or other. And there's many verses in the Bible which encourage everyone to teach in some way or other. I just want to read a few others. There's a bit in Titus chapter 2, verse 3, and it says, "The older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves of much wine, but they are to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled." And there, what it's saying is that everyone is to be involved in some way with teaching. You might not see yourself as a teacher, but the world probably does see you in some ways as a teacher, because the world's watching you, the world's watching your lifestyle, those around it are seeing how you cope with difficulties in your life. And whether we like it or not, we all in some way are teachers, because by the very nature of the way that we live our lives, it's teaching a message to those around us. And my heart really is that the whole church, each one of us, would become like a mentor and would train others how to follow Jesus. We would encourage one another, but also those who are going to become new believers in the future, that straight away they would have someone who would be a friend to them, who would teach them the basics of following Christ. And that's what this is all about, is how do you bring someone who's a new believer to follow Christ? How do you disciple them? Do you remember last time we looked at Matthew 28, and we said that there was a great commission that Jesus had given to all believers? It's not just to those who were there at the time. He sent us all out into the world to preach the good news. But not only to preach the good news, to tell people about Jesus, but to also make disciples, to teach them how to follow Jesus as well. So it's no good just bringing someone to the point where they say, yes, I want to follow Jesus. We're to also train them in how to follow Jesus as well. It's a bit like when you go into the hospital. You have some hospitals that are training hospitals. I think most hospitals these days are training hospitals. So you might go for a procedure and they'll ask you, do you mind if some others come in while you're having this really embarrassing procedure done? And you say, oh, no, I don't mind at all. And this great big crowd comes in, gawping. Ooh. But they're being trained up. There's like a mentorship taking place. And I used to be a psychiatric nurse, and when we went out on placement to different wards, we would have mentors on each unit or each ward. And I benefited greatly from having a mentor, because it was someone you could go to, you could talk to them, you could ask them questions. You didn't feel like you were on your own. They taught you the ropes, and you could put a bit of confidence and trust in them because they were well used to the wards. And some, you know, crazy things happened when we were learning how to do the different things that we had to do, medical procedures and all sorts of stuff. But having people around there who are mentors, who are coaches, made all the difference. And that is the culture I see in the Bible that Jesus wants us to put into practice, that we would become like life coaches to people and teach them how to follow Jesus and be a model to them, be a mentor to them. Remember Andrew Davis a few weeks ago spoke about being a model, and that the believers in the epistle that he quoted from, they became a model to the whole region. Well, it'd be great to be able to do that in this region, but I think for each one of us, our goal maybe should just be to be a model to one other person initially, to find someone that we can train in the things of the Lord that's not as far on as we are, maybe a new Christian, and teach them the ropes, get alongside them, encourage them, support them, and see them really shining with everything that God's put inside them. In my own life, when I became a Christian, I didn't come from a Christian background. My parents didn't go to church. None of my family went to church. I was the only one. And when I went along, the first time, I didn't want to actually go to church. I had no desire at all to go to church. And the first point I want to get across in this, it's a bit of a sermon, but it's not really a sermon. It's more of a chat, really. The first thing I want to get across is we need to bridge that cultural gap with the world. Because I wasn't ready when I became a Christian to go to church. I had become a Christian. I'd given my life to Jesus. I wanted to follow him. I'd turned my back on the occult. I wasn't following that anymore. I wanted to get rid of that and change my life and follow Jesus. But the lady who led me to the Lord basically said to me, you need to get along to church. Because if you don't get along to church, you're not going to grow. I thought, no, I don't want to go to church. Anything, but don't make me go to church, please. And you might be shocked by that, thinking, well, Stuart, not wanting to go to church. Like most Sundays, is it? Sarah trying to get me out of bed. Come on, it's church this morning. And you might have those days where you don't want to go to church. But for the average non-Christian, they're not brought up with church. It's a cultural shock to be in amongst people who are singing together, you know, oh, raising their hands. I remember my first ever time in church. I thought it was well weird because I was there. I was looking at all of the words on the screen, and I looked to the side of me, and there was Sheila, this lady who'd led me to the Lord. She had her eyes closed. She knew all the words to all the songs. She was like, hands up in the air. I thought, what's going on here? This is weird. I looked around, and other people had their hands in the air, eyes closed. I thought, how do they know all the words? What is this place, you know? And that was my first impressions of church, because I wasn't used to it. It was a culture shock. And we're going to be involved in a mission, which is a mission going out to the whole of Wales, with New Wine Cymru. That's churches from all different denominations working together. And all the dates are on your news sheets. But I'm hoping to get 10 people from this church going out on the streets. I think I've got about, I don't know how many we've got. How many have we got now? We've got about 6 or something, I think we've got. So if there's any that are here and you want to be involved in that, it's during the day. So if you're out working, it's going to be a bit tricky to do unless you can get time off work. But if you want to get involved with that, I really recommend it, because we're going to see some great stuff happening. The young people as well, if you want to get involved, you're welcome to be involved in that. Let me know. Have a look at the dates. And we'll train you up in how to share Jesus out on the streets. But the thing is, there's going to be people responding, and people are going to need being followed up. So in these times that are coming up, we're going to be having to disciple new believers who've got no background of church, a bit like I was. People who don't even want to come along to church. Now, it's no good for us just to say there and then, come along to church this Sunday, you'll love it. Because they probably won't love it, because it's such a cultural diversity for them. They're not ready for it. So what they're recommending as part of the follow-up is not to invite people to church. That might sound shocking to you. But these people who seriously will become Christians on the streets because God is doing an amazing thing, they've just become Christians, but they're not necessarily ready to come along to church. But what they are ready for is to have a friend get alongside them and start building a relationship with them and start discipling them. So what we're recommending is that as many of us as possible, I would love all of us to be involved in this, to say, yes, I'd be happy to get alongside a new non-Christian, meet up with them for a coffee once a week, and basically just go through the basics of following Jesus and have a chat to them, get to know them, build relationship. And then after they've got to know you and know that you're not too weird, well, some of us, not too weird. Once they've got to know that we're not too weird, then we can invite them to church with us, and we bring them along to church. I don't know when the last time was that you went into a new place where you didn't know anyone. The guts that it takes to walk into a new place is tremendous, isn't it, really? Think about going into a pub where you don't, and you're just on your own, and you're ordering a drink and everything, and you don't know a soul. It's hard to do that. Going to a conference where you don't know a soul. Sarah says that I'm quite friendly and I'm quite chatty. She said, well, you know, you're pretty good at that sort of thing. But I do struggle with it myself. I think we all struggle in different ways. But think of a non-Christian. They've got saved on the streets. They've given their life to Jesus. For them to pluck up the courage just to walk into a building where there's worship going on, where they don't know the format, they don't know whether they have to wear a suit or not, they don't know if they have to sit or stand. We're there to bridge that cultural gap. So I want to encourage us, first of all, we need to be bridges of cultural gaps if we're going to see people really being discipled, if we're going to fulfill that great commission. So we need to deal, first of all, with any unrealistic expectations we have that everyone's going to suddenly want to come along to church. They will want to come along to church, and they'll thank us for it afterwards when we do invite them to church. But we've got to take them where they're at. And it's suggested that the first thing is build that friendship and get to know them. So that friendship is so important. I wonder what you're like at building relationships. How to win friends and influence people. There's a book written about that, isn't there? And one of the things that they recommend in that book, I'm told, is that in order to form a relationship, form a rapport with people, the best thing is to ask them questions about themselves. Have a chat to them, but don't do all the talking. Ask them about themselves. Show an interest. Give them eye contact. Nod. Yeah. These are sort of skills they teach you when you're doing psychiatric nurse training about how to create a rapport with someone. So if you're inviting someone for a coffee and you're sort of looking out the windows, or you're looking at your phone or something, if people think that you're not interested in them, then it's going to turn them off following Jesus, really, because they're not going to think, well, okay, you're a good example to follow. So we really need to build that relationship, that rapport, that friendship, and the trust will grow and grow. And I was so grateful when I first became a Christian. I was pulled along to church by this lady, and I was really thankful that she did get me along to church, because now I realize why I needed to be in church. But I'm also thankful to a man called Don, and I think I've told you about him before. The first Sunday in church, he cornered me, and he asked me all about myself, and there could have been no one else in the room because his eyes were like, you know, boring into me. You know, I had his full attention, and he was just asking me about my background, how I became a Christian, and he was really interested in this. And my friend became a Christian at the same time as well. And this guy basically nurtured us. He taught us the basics of what it was to follow Jesus. But he had a boldness in doing that. He had a decisiveness about him that he thought, well, actually, no, these young lads, there was no other young people particularly in the church at the time, maybe one or two who had been brought up with church culture. But there was nobody really from a background of non-church culture coming into the church. We were the first ones. And he knew that we needed help. He could see that. So him and his wife invited us round to their place and basically taught us the basics of being a Christian. Now, these days, that probably wouldn't be the most wisest of ideas, inviting young people around to your house because of child protection issues and stuff. You've got to be practical. But the fact was, they got on, did the job, and they nurtured us. And we need to find ways of doing that. So what they recommend is meet in a public place and have a coffee together or something in a public place, like the lounge coffee bar in town would be an ideal location. Buy them a coffee, show hospitality, or a tea if they drink tea even. Horrible drink. How can you drink that stuff? Disgusting. And just get to know them, show an interest, and talk them through the basics of what it is to follow Jesus. They've said a prayer maybe out on the streets, and they want to follow Christ, but they don't know how to. And what we're doing is we're giving them that opportunity to show them how to. The first day that we went around this fella's house, this couple's house, my friend, he was really embarrassed, and he broke wind really loudly. And I wasn't used to going around people's houses and stuff. And it was just, I almost died of embarrassment. But that's what he was like. He was good at breaking the ice, or shattering the ice, if you like. And so I was a nervous, shy young lad. And, you know, I wouldn't say boo to a goose, but this guy was outgoing. But what I needed really was someone to get alongside me and encourage me, because I didn't hardly ever go out. I stayed in my room a lot of the time, reading occult books, how to do witchcraft and stuff like that. And to actually have a Christian that was a friend in church who I could go to with any questions and just pick his brains about different things was a real godsend. And you might not believe it, but you will be a godsend to the new believers who are desperate for a friend and desperate for someone to show them the ropes. So Don became a mentor to us. He had an open home, but we can do it a different way in terms of meeting in cafes and stuff. The next thing I want to say is Don went for it. He was, there's a word, isn't there, when you're planning to do something. I can always forget this word. Intentional, that's it. Thank you, Lord. He was intentional. I think we all need to be more intentional than we are. As British reserved people, we don't like to push ourselves on anyone, do we? And we go too far the other way. I know we can be a pest sometimes if we do push ourselves on people, and it can become pressure. But I don't think the Christian church in the UK is in danger of pressurizing people. I think it's in danger of doing the opposite of being so afraid of pressurizing people and being so nice to people that we're even nicer than Jesus is. You know, Jesus was nice, but we're even nicer than that because we're trying not to offend people all the time. We don't want to push them too much. And in so doing, we can actually not be out for the best interests of those who are new believers. A new believer needs someone to follow them up, and they're desperate for that. They might not realize that they need that, but they do need that. And in the training for following people up, what they're saying with this mission is phone the person up. If they don't get back to you straight away, don't forget about it and leave them. Phone them up again and keep phoning them up and arrange an appointment with them to see them at a cafe or something. And they might not show up that first time. Don't take that as they're not interested. Keep giving them the opportunity until they actually say, no, I'm not interested. Keep giving them the opportunity because they will thank you for it later. And I might not have wanted necessarily Don to come up to me that particular Sunday because I wasn't used to that. But later on, I was really appreciative that he did because I knew that I needed it. I didn't want to go to church, but I was really appreciative that Sheila really pushed me to get along to church. If she hadn't have been intentional, then I probably wouldn't be standing here now with a microphone chatting to you or leading a church. So God is going to do amazing things through each one of us, but we've got to be willing to be used by him, and we've got to be a bit more intentional, I think, and deal with our British reserve, which we've all got to a certain degree. Just kick it into touch. The last thing I wanted to say is this. The KISS principle. Do you know what the KISS principle is? Keep it simple, stupid. Use the KISS principle. So you're probably going to be better at discipling people than I am. Why? Because I'll be wanting to go into the Hebrew, the Greek. I'll be wanting to go into the Book of Revelation. I'll be wanting to did you know about this? And but that's not what they need. They need milk. Newborn babe needs milk. They don't need the solid food. They need milk. And if you've been a Christian, even for a short period of time, you've got that milk that you can pass on to someone else. You know the basics, you know the ropes. And maybe if you're a newer Christian, you're probably even more qualified than someone who's been a Christian a longer time to get alongside someone new and teach them what you know. So never write yourself off thinking, I don't know enough. If you've been a Christian any period of time, you're going to know so much more than the average person on the streets. And that's valuable information. You can form a relationship and you can keep it simple, stupid. You can just teach them the basics of what it is. They've said this prayer, what next? Okay, over to you now. What are the basics of, about following Jesus? What would you teach someone who's a new Christian? What do they need to hear? I know nothing. I know nothing. I'm from Barcelona. I know nothing. So what are the basics of following Jesus? So unconditional love, teaching them that, getting them grounded in the unconditional love of Christ, that he loves us. He doesn't condemn us. He condemns condemns sin, but actually he died on the cross for us. So get them clear on the gospel, the good news. What other things? You're a new creation. The old is gone. You might not feel any different. You might think, well, I'm exactly the same. I don't feel any different. But you've said that prayer, and according to the Bible, you're not the person you once were. You've become a new person. You're a child of God. So it's teaching them that. What else? Shout it out. We're forgiven. Yeah. Doesn't matter what sin you... These are the basics of what a new Christian needs to know. They need to know that every sin they will ever commit, every sin that they're going to commit in their life, past, present, future, Jesus died and paid the price for all those sins. So when Satan tries to condemn them, they can tell Satan where to go because they know that Jesus has paid the price. These are really important truths. Yeah, what else? Jesus is the Son of God. Yeah. So the whole divinity of Jesus. I think we need to be a little bit careful when we say Jesus is the Son of God. Say that, Jesus is the Son of God. But explain it, because a Mormon believes that Jesus is the Son of God, but they don't believe Jesus is God. Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe Jesus is God, but they will say, yeah, he's the Son of God. We've got a lot in common. We believe that Jesus is, you don't believe that Jesus is God, do you? So explain that Jesus is God in human form, if you like. He's fully human, fully God. They need to know that, the basics. Yeah. Yeah, the whole thing about legalism, that we don't get to heaven by trying harder and saying more prayers. And it's great to do all those things, and God does like us doing those things, but they don't qualify us for heaven because we can't get rid of our sins by being better. So that, they need to hear that but in a way that they can understand, non-jargon. What else? Sorry? Yeah, so you could say more about Jesus, that he was he didn't mess up at all. When he went to the cross, he was without sin. Well, how do they grow as a Christian? Yeah. Yep. Little by little. So the first time you meet with them, you would just want to cover certain things. And I'll show you what to cover in a minute. We're going to have a look at that together. So you don't want to cover it all. In one session, you just want to cover the basics. They've said a prayer, what next? So we're covering the what next then. But eventually, you want to teach them how to grow as a Christian. What are the main things that we would do to grow in our faith? Read the Bible. That's got to be one of the big things. And you'll have a session on reading the Bible. So we're trying to encourage them how to do that. What we're going to get in this outreach is we're going to get some Gospel of Luke and the Book of Acts presented in a really, really nice format to give to everyone that responds. So we can give that for free to them. But we can also buy them a Bible as well. But this is in a nice format, so it's quite easy to read. So that gets them started on reading the Bible. What other things? Attend a local church. So they might want to come to this church. They might not want to come to this church. They might want to go to another church. That's fine if they do. But we just want to encourage them to attend a local church. And this is an interdenominational mission. So, you know, if they do decide to go to the church down the road, we're not going to be there crying, I've failed. They've gone to the enemy, the church down the road. You know, we're not going to be like that. We're going to be, hallelujah, the kingdom of God. They're going to be supported in this church, and I'm going to support them in that journey as well. Yeah, listen to what the interests they've got and bring out the beauty of who they are as a person and how being a Christian relates to that. Other things we could say about is things like prayer, because people don't know what prayer is. So just explaining prayer is just talking to God and also waiting for him to talk to us as well. And one of the main ways he'll speak to us is through the Bible. So it's just getting these new habits into their lives. They might think, well, oh, I didn't have a quiet time today. Am I going to go to hell? You know, they might have questions like that. And we need to be people who are just, we can be there for whatever questions they have. They might have questions about relationships. Is it okay to have sex before marriage? And questions like this. And we're there to support them in whatever questions they've got. Right then, guys. What I want to do next is give you, to keep, I photocopied these, a copy of the six discipleship course. It's six sessions which they've prepared for this mission that we're doing. And this was written by Sarah something. What's her name? Sarah Richards. Sorry, I was trying to think of her name. The people who lead Cornerstone Church in Swansea are Julian Richards and Sarah Richards. And so they're heading up, really, the New Wine Cymru, which is all different denominations, as I say. But what she's done is an amazing thing, really. Yeah, they've put it in a real nice format. And she's got rid of all the jargon. Okay, sorry that we're a bit. I've got some really. These are just the photocopies, but I've got the originals at the back, at the front, your front, my back. And they're done in a lot better format than this. They're done on sort of card format, glossy, really nice. And this is something, if we can get a couple of copies, you can give one to the person we're discipling, have one for ourselves, meet up for a coffee with them, and just form a friendship. And it's just very simple. No, you don't have to photocopy them. And in fact, you won't be using these copies. But take these copies, read them thoroughly, get used to them, and use them. You don't need to do it formally. It doesn't need to be a formal thing. You might already have a friend who's just become a Christian they are interested in following Christ. I would say keep to male to male, female to female, and try and keep within your age group. So rather than an adult, you know, nurturing a child, you know, it'd be better for the young people to get alongside young people and for them to be the person who nurtures their friends and stuff or people their age. So let's have a look at this then. So what would happen is this. They recommend when someone says a prayer to ask Jesus to forgive them on the streets, that they're going to try and get their details, which is a big thing. Not everyone will give their personal details, their contact details. Not everybody wants that, and that's fine. But some people do want to give their personal details because they want to be contacted for follow-up. And a percentage of those on the streets who will give their contact details. And then we've got a follow-up coordinator who's going to be Catherine Baxter. We're going to amalgamate with Abergavenny, the Gateway Church in Abergavenny, with the Capel Ed Church in Goitre, with Brian and Jill Hayward's church in Brynethel, and some other church that I can't remember. I'm not sure if Wayne and Church on the Rise might be amalgamated with us. I'm not sure what they're doing, but it'd be nice if they were amalgamated with us as well. But there's at least 40 of us in the team, and we're going to be going out, first of all, to Abergavenny, sharing Jesus on the streets. From that, there's going to be people from all different areas that might be visiting Abergavenny for the day. They might be from Brymau. So all of those who respond, the names will get given to the follow-up coordinators in each area. So Catherine will get any names that are from our sort of area. And then what she'll do is she'll look for someone in the church who's volunteered, yes, I'd be happy to do this, to meet up with somebody. And she will contact you. And the aim is for you to make some sort of contact with that person the same day. So it could either be a text, sending them a text, or giving them a ring. But make some sort of contact the same day, because time is of the essence. And when someone's responded to the gospel, if there's a delay in follow-up, they're going to go cold. And, you know, it gives Satan time then to pull them away from following Jesus. So that's the time, the same day when they've said the prayer, to give them a phone call and arrange to meet up the same week. So it's really getting people when they've just become a Christian and saying, oh, it's great what you've done. Encouraging them. You've said this prayer, fantastic. I said a prayer like that a few years ago, and I it's the best thing I ever did. Can we arrange to meet up for a coffee, maybe in the lounge, and I'll buy you a cuppa? And so you make an arrangement to meet that person that week. They may say, oh, I'm not available this week. Okay, what about next week? And so it's that persistence, it's that intentionality. And eventually you arrange a meeting. The first meeting, you buy them the coffee, and you ask some questions about themselves, get to know them, build a relationship, and use this really as a basis. So on the first page, this is your first session. It's 6 weeks. You meet up with them once a week for 6 weeks. First week then, my new journey. So they've just said a prayer, there's that question, what's just happened? What's the next step? So you're just wanting really to bring them assurance of salvation. That's what the first page is all about. You're wanting them to know that because they've said that prayer, Jesus has forgiven them for their sins. That it's effective. They might not feel any different, but they are different. So that very verse that you brought up is here. It's 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. You can say, the Bible says, anyone who is joined to Christ is a new being. The old is gone, the new has come. So you're basically teaching them that they've become born again. They're not the same. They might not feel any different, but according to God, they are now different. They are a child of God. So these are the sort of things you want to reassure them of. And then there's a prayer there. You might want to pray that with them. But then down the bottom, there's some resources. How you can know God personally. I went on the internet and I printed that off. You can find all those links on the internet. I've got it here somewhere, but it's good. You know, it basically teaches them how to become a Christian, really, and it's highlighting what they've already said in saying that prayer. And then there's also a link to the Alpha website. And what that is if they click on it, the Alpha website will tell them someone from Alpha Group will tell them where the nearest Alpha course is. Alpha is a course, how to follow Jesus, but it's in a small group. So it's harder to get someone on an Alpha course than it is to actually befriend them in a cafe. So that's maybe the next step for them after this course. It might be to do an Alpha, but it takes quite a bit of arranging to do Alpha. So if you can, just keep on the journey with them, keep meeting up with them and invite them along to church after a certain time when you think they're ready. So that's the first session. Second session is all about who is Jesus. And you told me, I'd say half an hour, half an hour to an hour. Play it by ear and see how it's going, I would say. In the Reading Church, the material that they use, I don't like it as much as this. This has been written specifically for this mission. And I looked through their sessions. They've got 9 sessions, and there's a little bit of religious jargon in it, you know, like prophetic lifestyle. But you don't want to see the words prophetic lifestyle in any follow-up material for a new Christian. So although that's the grace of God, you know, they're seeing, you know, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people saved, and yet their follow-up material, I think, can be improved. And I think this is an improvement on it. Because it's not jargon. What I also like is later on when it says about the Bible, they give a link to the YouVersion. I don't know if you've heard of the YouVersion of the Bible, but it's a version of the Bible that you can have on your mobile phone. and people can download it, and there's daily readings on there and stuff. It's really good. So session two, who is Jesus? Here it says about Jesus being the Son of God. And as I said, you might want to explain what that means, because they don't really understand what that terminology means. We know that Jesus is God in the flesh, and you might want to sort of explain that, unpack it a bit. And then it's explaining about Jesus being fully human, fully God, but also Jesus being sinless. It's making sure they understand the gospel, and also making sure they know that Jesus is historical, that it's not just wishful thinking. There's a lot of history in the Bible. And then over the page, what is prayer? You might want to encourage them and say, well, have you prayed? Do you pray? Do you know what prayer is? And sort of say it's just, you know, talking to God. And again, this is just put in a very simple format. Then the next one is the message. That's all about the Bible. So it's introducing them to the Bible. And we will be giving them the book of Acts and the book of Luke. So you can ask them, you know, have you read a bit of that? Why not read it a little bit each day and ask God to speak to you beforehand? Just pray, God speak to me, and then read it. Then session five is all about the church, a new community. So I like it because it's accessible. It's not jargon. And picking them up would be something good, wouldn't it? Actually arranging to go with them the first time at least to church. Maybe generally just to go with them every time they come to church and until they're used to coming on their own. And then the last one is about evangelism, about sharing with their friends, with their family. So it's the basics of how to grow as a Christian, really, that they're active in sharing their faith right from the start. So I think it's a really good bit of material. And you don't have to be bound by this, but it's just a springboard for a conversation to have with people. So that's about it, I think. Do you fancy doing a bit of role play? Do you know what? That's the craziest question I've ever heard, I've ever asked. Do you fancy doing a bit of... Oh, yeah, sure, we fancy doing it. When does anybody ever fancy doing a little bit of role play? Yeah. Why don't we... pretend. If you want to join in with me, let's do it. We've got a few minutes. Let's pretend that the person we're just meeting them for the first time, and let's just chat to them, and let's maybe take them through some of the things on the first page, or ask them about what they. Yeah, Catherine, we're just saying we're gonna. I just asked a question. Do you fancy doing a bit of role play? It's like. Excellent. Oh, that's one. I see that hand at the back. That's one. Let's do it, shall we? Let's for those who are willing, you don't have to do it if you really don't want to do it. But if you want to humour me and give this a try, let's just look at the first page and let's pretend this is our first meeting with someone, and let's over the next few minutes just have a go at it. What I'd like is for you to get in pairs and for one of you to be the non-Christian, or the new Christian, I should say, and one of you to be the Christian, and just introduce yourself, and you know, just sort of explain, just encourage them. I'd say first of all, encourage them that they've done a good thing, and sort of maybe share a bit about yourself, how you became a Christian, and just start to talk them through this. See how you get on. If anybody's stuck, wants help, give me a shout. Okay, so if you haven't done yet, just be drawing your discussion to a close and then give the other person a chance. Give the other person a chance to be a different role. So swap your roles around. One of you be the new Christian and one of you be the other person. Okay, guys, if you can start to bring your conversations to a close. How did you find that? How was it? Oh, you've been a heckler. don't forget that this person's just become a Christian on the street, so they want to know more. But yeah, but they might heckle a bit because they might think, well, okay, I want to follow this Jesus, but I've got some valid questions that I want answered. Yes, at the back. Sorry?
Oh, that's another jargony word, isn't it? But my sister and my brother-in-law became Christians at the same time, and they'd been like LSD users and so hallucinating all the time. They're never in the real world. So I was sent to put them straight when they rang and said, oh, we've become Christians. I was sent by my dad to something else that they've joined. But when I got there, there was a guy who they'd befriended from the church that had spoken to them, and he sat me down, and I didn't think I was a sinner for the start, and I thought I was a good person, and I had no need for God, and that was something that in that conversation my need for God got greater, because I didn't really know who God was, to be honest. And so when he was talking to me, it was like he was opening up everything I'd ever done in my life. And it wasn't from what he knew. It was from what God was, you know, revealing himself to me through this person. I didn't get saved then, because I came away thinking, oh, you know, and then I really realized, actually, I am a sinner. And that was, in that time, God's conscience made me realize I had needed him, and I had no need for him before. I was a good person, hadn't done anybody any harm, and that was something that I will always say, is I didn't think I needed God, and a lot of people live like that now. And then it was at my sister's baptism, and it was just, and nobody said nothing, but the overwhelming sense of the love of God was too much for me, and I broke down. And it was because through that time I had gone from not needing God, because I didn't know the God that I didn't need. Do you know what I mean? It was the God I had in mind, I had no need for. But the God that was revealed to me, I started needing him. And then it was that sense of, and I have always had love all my life. My parents loved me, you know, my family loved me. And so it wasn't a need for love, but it was the overwhelming love of God that, and I just broke down, and that's when I accepted him. Because I wasn't discipled straight away, because I didn't live where my sister was living in Blackpool, and I lived quite a few miles away. So the churches that I always associated myself with before didn't have that revelation that I had. So it was very difficult at the beginning to separate myself. So I still carried on nightclubbing and what have you. But eventually it all became meaningless, and it was like, I don't want to do this anymore. And it wasn't nobody told me. But and then I moved to Blackpool and I got properly discipled in God's word and everything. But yeah, that's where I came from.
Thank you, Tricia. That's great. It's just great to hear that testimony, isn't it? And we're going to be helping people live out their testimonies, really, in a similar way. You know, when I became a Christian, I was still listening to demonic music, and I was trying to get all the Christians involved in it as well. They weren't so interested, surprisingly. And then God convicted me about some of the demonic music I was listening to. Yeah, it's a gradual process of change. But the main thing that we want to do is support people. And they may ask you questions that you don't know the answer to. You don't have to be brain boxes. You don't have to know the answers to all the questions. If you don't know the answer to a question they're asking you, just say, not sure, but I'll try and find out this week. Or maybe ask someone else, you know, because sometimes it's valid questions. Why does God allow suffering to happen is a classic one. And we can do some background reading on things like that. I just want to encourage you. You've got the tools. You know, you're able to do it. I'm convinced that each one of us here has got tools that we can use in encouraging new Christians. And it may be something new that we've not done before. But once we just step into that, I just know that we're going to be thinking, man, this is what I was made to do. This is what Jesus has chosen me for, to encourage others. Yes, Trish? Okay, time is ticking on, guys, so we need to wrap things up. Very quickly, Carl. empathy is the key. I think if I could encourage anything, it's to be a friend to that person. You're building relationship and you're encouraging them. Dave, have you got something? Just very quickly, Dave, because time's ticking.
I just want to say this, right, that I can't testify to being saved on the street, but I can testify, right, to the Spirit of God convicting me on the street. Right, when I got saved when I was 17, and right, I turned my back on God, and I was in the pictures in Bryn Mawr, and right, I come out of the pictures, and God started to speak to me, and he said, your life is empty, right? You need to go back to church. And I said, well, I began to wonder, what's going on here, right? I didn't hear an audible voice, but I heard the Spirit of God speaking to my spirit. So one thing I think we should remember that is this, that, right, it's the Spirit of God that does the work. It's the Spirit of God that energizes, right? He's the one.
Guys, can we finish by praying? And then I'll wrap things up. I think we've learned a lot this morning. It's been a great